ईद कर चैतन्य कृपा महाबला तारे अनुसंधन बिन करे सफला. Translation: how powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Purport: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time it will fructify. This is confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Neha vikrama nasasti pratyavayana vijate svalpamapi asya dharma shatayate mahato bayat. In this endeavor there is no loss or termination, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport continues, and I'll speak as we'll read it gradually. So the first point in this verse is interesting, because oftentimes we are speaking about Neha vikrama nasasti pratyavayana vijyate svalpamapi asya dharma shatayate mahato bayat, which means there is no loss. So many times we said that if devotional service is not complete, that in the next life we'll carry on and so on. And that is the common explanation we've heard of the verse. But you may have noted that here there is a slightly different slant, which is very important. Because it is said that if a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time it will fructify. See, that's something else. Not only it sits there in your eternal spiritual bank account and you carry on in the next life from where you left off, and then again in the life after that you carry on, and in the life and hundreds life after that you're still carrying on, and 10,000 life after that you're still carrying on, and after 1,000,000 lives in devotional service you're still carrying on. You go like, really? That's very encouraging. So see, today, Srila Prabhupada explains it a little different. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time, it will fructify. So this point, that it will fructify, and that's what we see. Maharaj Prataparuddha was a king. It was impossible 500 years ago. And at that time, the social circumstances were dictating a rigid behavior of social renunciation for a sannyasi. And if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not following that standard of renunciation, he would have been socially rejected. And it says, sannyasira alpachidra sarvaloka gaya, that if there is one spot on the reputation of a sannyasi, then everyone will talk about it, people will lose faith, and they will not take his word serious. Because a sannyasi basically has no possessions in this world other than his reputation, or that people have faith in his purity. It is his purity that is his only real asset that he has. Any other asset is not so significant and is not really allowing him to have influence. But it is that purity and that people believe in. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was careful to preserve that and to not act in a way that might diminish faith. So a king was meant to be, oftentimes kings were somewhat on the worldly side of life. Not every king was a Maharaj Yudhisthira. Not every king was a Raja Rishi. It wasn't exactly like that. Although we find in the Bhagavatam, we find descriptions of great saintly kings. It wasn't only saintliness that was ruling even in previous yugas. And we see, even a personality like Duryodhana was not exactly saintly. He certainly was influenced by envy. Other kings influenced by greed, and many kings had many queens. And, well, what to say, even with one queen, it's not always easy to follow all the four regulative principles, I mean to say. I didn't mean to say anything else. Some started to laugh too early. You notice that? I didn't even finish the sentence. But anyway, the queens, so many queens, each offering their temptations, and queens are generally beautiful. You know, why would you marry an ugly queen? To get to the point. So, in short, so it wasn't just simple for many kings to maintain high spiritual standards. And therefore, a king, by the time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Kali Yuga had sufficiently progressed that, practically speaking, a king was no longer suitable to deal with for a sannyasi. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to meet Maharaj Prataparuddha. Maharaj Prataparuddha, however, had heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from many people, of course. He had heard a lot about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's amazing influence and his ecstasy in kirtan, and how so many people were becoming ecstatic, and Maharaj Prataparuddha's mind had become greatly attracted. So, subsequently, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was basically his spiritual master, he was accepting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the king had heard all about it, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and how he had actually defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in argument. So, therefore, the king said, yes, I also accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, I have one request to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please, arrange a darshan for me with the Supreme Lord. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, that might be difficult because he's very strict as a sannyasi, very, very strict. And he is not mixing with any kings at all. That will be very hard. Even others tried, Ramananda Rai also. But again and again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing strongly, no, I will not see a king. When the devotees were asking him to be merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very strong and said, if you ask me again, I will be forced to move elsewhere. So everyone was at that point scared and no one said anything. But at one point, Ramananda Rai, who was the governor of Orissa, he wanted to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu full time. So he went to the king and he asked the king for resignation. So that he could join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the king said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Not only do I grant you the resignation, I'll give you full salary as well. Please go join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bosses nowadays are not like that. What can be said? But anyway, so it came to pass. And that, of course, was pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
One second.
Because Madhbhakta Pujya Pyadika, it says in Bhagavatam, on that 11th canto, that we must serve the devotee of the Lord. So by serving the devotee of the Lord, we can attract the mercy of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way, his mercy was certainly attracted. And Maharaj Prataparuda's service to Ramananda Rai was certainly going in his spiritual bank account as like a substantial sum of spiritual advancement. The king also swept the road at the time of Ratha Yatra, which was revolutionary. The king publicly did the work of a sweeper. At that time, India was very much predominated by smarter brahmanas. And the smarter brahmanas, when it comes to a sudra, right, a sudra, if the shadow of a sudra touches you, you have to take bath, you're contaminated. You cannot read the scriptures anymore that day, you have to fast. You have to fast according to the Mama's Smriti. When, even after you have fasted and have prepared to study the scripture and performed austerity, then when one sudra just passes by and you see him, you have to again fast and again take bath. Can one imagine? I think that was why Brahmas became skinny. Seeing so many sudras, yes, it was a very problematic thing. So just imagine, the king was touching a broom. A broom, yeah? No, seriously, the king touched a broom. Yeah, a contaminated thing, a broom. Oh my God. That Akshatriya, one of the higher castes, excuse me, touched a broom. So this was a shocking thing, a shocking thing. But then, so everyone was appalled. Oh no, what is this? The king is holding a broom. Next moment, the king stepped in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath and swept the road to everyone's amazement. And suddenly, everyone appreciated. Everyone could see the king has not gone mad. The king is actually showing to all of us that he is a servant of Lord Jagannath. And all were actually uplifted for a moment above considerations of caste and appreciating that, yes, Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Lord in the entire universe, and the glories of Maharaj Prataparuda were increased manyfold at that time, and also in the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not relenting, he was not ready to meet the king, by no means. Although at one point he agreed to meet the son of the king. So the son of the king was very handsome. He had lotus eyes, he had a darkish complexion and very long arms, right? And so when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he immediately remembered Krishna. And therefore, when seeing this prince, because he reminded him of Krishna, he became so ecstatic that he immediately embraced the prince. And the prince just, you know, up to that point, he was a nice prince, kind of handsome prince, a good prince. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, he became a transcendental prince, and he began to jump up in the air in great ecstasy, and he became a madman. And he jumped up and down, and then he danced from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu towards his father. And when his father saw the transformation in his son, love just welled up from his heart, and he spontaneously embraced his son. And then all the love of God of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also hit Maharaj Prataparuda like a tidal wave. So in this way, it worked. Anyway, the mercy was transferred to Maharaj Prataparuda. But meanwhile, there was no sign whatsoever that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was changing his mind and that he would meet the king. You know? So anyway, but Sarva Bhattacharya, who was extremely intelligent and highly learned, he could understand on a deeper level, and he could read more subtle signs. He was not just looking at the externals that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said no, but he could say, could see, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was becoming more and more inclined. This situation of accepting his son and so on is a clear indication that the Lord is melting and that internally he is actually pleased with the service that Maharaj Prataparuda has done. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obviously becoming more favorable to meet the king. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made a plan. And he said, you know, during the Rati Yatra, when we'll come towards the end of the Rati Yatra, then it's customary that the chariot will stop at the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, and there great many offerings will be made to Lord Jagannath every year, just as we also have our stops, you know, as we come down Rose Avenue, we have the Mandir, and then they come out from the Mandir every year to offer something, isn't it? So in the same way, it is like that in Puri also, and they stop at the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. So many offerings were there. So said, while the offerings are going on, at that time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can take a little rest in the garden to recover from his dancing. Then you can go dressed as a common man, and you can go and meet the Lord. So, all right, the king was ready, dressed up like a common man. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying down. The king immediately came into the garden, and the king began to massage the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had been dancing, and of course the lotus feet of the Lord. And then the king at the same time began to recite the Pancha Rasa Jaya, or the five chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which deal with the Rasa-lila pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all this, he was in ecstasy, in great ecstasy. And this is actually the, if we go back just two verses, here, two verses back. After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the king and cried, "You are the most munificent, you are the most munificent." Referring to that, he was just now speaking about these Vrindavan pastimes, because after all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at a unique point in his pastimes. You know, when Nimai was a young boy, Nimai never revealed his identity as a devotee, not openly. But Nimai seemed to have a disease. He would sometimes crash to the ground in ecstasy. Yeah? But Mother Sachi thought it was a disease. She invited Srivas, who was very wise, to come and see. And Srivas, he checked him out, he looked at it, he said, "I want that disease." "I want that disease, yes." So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even as Nimai Pandit, was in a hidden way manifesting some symptoms of love of God, but externally he was a pundit and not interested in spiritual affairs. But after his visit to Gaya and meeting Iswarapuri, then he began to show symptoms of love of God. Then all the devotees shared in the ecstasy. Then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then after sannyas, the whole sannyas thing was a thing of everyone crying rivers of tears, his hair was being shaved up, what a drama, what a scene it was, and everyone was totally getting depressed and so on. And then at the very end, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly started dancing in ecstasy. And the whole mood changed from utter depression to absolute ecstasy. And love of God was just tasted by everyone. And they had the most ecstatic kirtan. The most ecstatic kirtan. And what's his name now? The Keshava Bharati, the Mayavadi sannyasi, started dancing like a madman. So anyway, after that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did a tour of South India. In that tour in South India, he did ecstatic kirtan and he showed also ecstatic love of God. But never before was it really classified. Was it really going to a deeper stage? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in Sri Rangam, he stayed there during the rainy season, met with Venkatabhata. When he met with Venkatabhata, there was a discussion. Venkatabhata was the leader of the Sri Sampradaya. They worship Lakshmi Narayan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why is it? Is it that Lakshmi, she is totally chaste, isn't it? Yes. She's always serving the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Yes, yes, yes. He said, then why is it that Lakshmi performed austerity to obtain the favor of Krishna? Is that chaste? Venkatabhata looked at him in sort of like naughty question. But anyway, he said, there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. All right, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very nice. Then why is it that when Lakshmi Dev performed all these austerities, that she couldn't attain the mercy of Krishna and that she couldn't enter into the Rasa dance? Why is that? Then Venkatabhata said, the ways of the Lord are mysterious, inconceivable. He didn't know. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that actually Lakshmi is worshipping the Lord with all this opulence, and she is worshipping all the opulence of the Lord. And therefore she worships him in awe and reverence. That is never the mood of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, they climb on top of Krishna. They sit on his shoulders. They defeat him. They fight with him. Yes. So that is different. Therefore, Lakshmi could not enter Vrindavan. So, with Venkatabhata's discussion, we see some qualification coming in of what that love of God is. Not just ecstasy, but what the quality is of that love of God. Then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues his journey, and at the end of the journey to South India, around South India, he meets Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is none other than Vishakha. So, in Nitya Lila. So therefore, it is a great meeting, they embrace in love of God, and then there's a whole discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking the questions, Ramananda Rai is giving the answer. And Ramananda Rai begins to slowly explain different levels of devotional service. The lowest, yet kurusi, yet asnasi, yet juhusthadasi, yet yatapasi, yet kunti, yet tat kurusvatam arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerity you perform, do that as an offering to me. No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's external. That's external. It's karma yoga. You're dealing with the material energy offering to me. Now, what is the highest? And then they go step by step until they come to the pure, unalloyed love of the residents of Vrindavan, ultimately the gopis of Vrindavan. Next thing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, next stop, Puri. Alright, passengers, we're all getting down, Jagannath Puri. Like the news spread fast, everybody came in from everywhere to Jagannath Puri in no time, within 10 days, all the devotees were there. And Then starts the Beda Beda Kirtan, which is big, big Kirtan in Jagannath Puri. Every day, no one had ever seen such Kirtan, Prem Sankirtan, amazing Kirtan. Everyone was just beyond himself. Oh, such Kirtan. And then for the first time, Rath Yatra, with all the devotees from Bengal, with all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rath Yatra had been performed since the Satya Yuga. Rath Yatra, so many Rath Yatras, banging on gongs and Jagannath being carried by pandas and the chariot being pulled. But never with such kirtan. Never. For the first time, such kirtan was there in Rath Yatra. Now Rath Yatra had become something else. Rath Yatra came to another level of ecstasy, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced. He danced like no one had ever seen. He danced higher than anyone else. He was flying and crashing to the ground, and Nityananda was catching him on the way. And at one point, he was just calling out, Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. So what was that Rath Yatra? Yes, we all know, because Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explains to us every year that the gopis grabbed the reins of the chariot and pulled Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's a fact. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in that mood. He was in that mood of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. He was not thinking about preaching at that time. Rath Yatra is big preaching. He was just taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. So he was already, had been pulling Krishna now, pushing along. The chariot had already stopped. It wouldn't move. The king had already put big wrestlers to pull the chariot. Still it wouldn't move. The king had put elephants on chains on the chariot. Still it didn't move. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, let the devotees take the ropes. And they had the ropes in their hands. Mahaprabhu went to the back of the chariot, pushed it with his head, and it started to roll without the devotees even pulling. All that had already happened. So, oh yes, Jagannath, Krishna, was on the way back to Vrindavan. And now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to this Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, which was Vrindavan. Because the gardens around Gundicha are no different from Vrindavan. So actually, Jagannath was reaching Vrindavan. And as Jagannath came there was a village of Balandigi, and he looked left, he saw the village, and Jagannath looked right, and he saw the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to rest in deep meditation, and then Maharaj Paruda came, Brother Paruda came, and recited these verses which deal with the topmost pastimes in Vrindavan. And in that way, the king did service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he followed him in his mood, and he exactly followed him in his mood and gave him exactly those verses that he needed. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated so much. And therefore, he became greatly ecstatic and called out, you are the most munificent, the most munificent. You are giving me the greatest gift because you're fulfilling my heart. So, in this way, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spontaneously embraced the king. Externally, without knowing that he was the king. But internally, of course, knowing everything, being the Supreme Lord, and showering Maharaj Prataparuda with mercy. Therefore, devotional service never goes in vain. Never. Never. And we should not think, oh, I'm trying so much, and I'm crying, and I'm crying so much that I'm still not successful. I think I'm gonna quit. I'm giving up. Oh. Yeah. one temple, and the temple president had gone. He wasn't there. I said, oh, where's he gone? Then the devotee said, he's gone to the beach. I said, oh, to the beach. He said, 3 days ago. I said, 3 days ago? He said, yeah, he never came back. I said, he? I said, he's still there. I said, well, let's go to the beach. Always looking for an excuse. So I went to the beach, and I saw him sitting there in front of the ocean. And I sat down next to him and also looked at the beach. I looked at the ocean together, looking at the ocean. After about 15 minutes, I said, nice view, isn't it? And anyway, we struck up a conversation. And then the next thing was that he came out with it. Basically, he had an identity crisis. And the question came to his mind, who am I, really? For so long, I've done all these things. But how can I carry on? Because deep down in my heart, I'm not that pure devotee that I've tried to be all this time. I was sincere in trying, but all this time, deep down, I have not really been that pure devotee that I'm trying to act out, sincerely. Therefore, now I'm sitting on the beach and asking, who am I really? Oh my God. And what about our beach? Are we going to go to the beach as well one day? Is that what will happen? It can be avoided. There is no need. There is no need. When we remember, our service is not gone in vain. Oh no, it's not. Maybe our heart still not pure. Maybe a little more pure than before. But still not that pure. We know. We know. Others may say, oh, you are so great. Oh, you are so wonderful. We know. We know exactly who we are. We know. Still not so pure. But that doesn't matter, because ultimately the service is in the bank account, and it will attract Krishna's mercy. And with that, and that mercy, when that mercy comes, will get so quickly purified. Dhruva Maharaj was touched with a conch. Prahlad Maharaj by the hand of Lord Nrsimhadev. When that, then so much purification. So by mercy. In the end, all by mercy. So, although we are not the church that where, you know, you don't have to do anything because a certain person died for our sins, no, we say one has to do something. One has to very seriously try to become pure in our behavior. But at the end of the day, there is the mercy of the Lord. And this is the key. Therefore, there is no fear, no fear that we will not be successful. Therefore, no need to go to the beach and stare at the ocean and think, who am I really? The answer is clear. I really am a devotee of Krishna. And everything else will go away. Whatever is in conflict with that, it will go away. It will, without a doubt. Prabhupada says so, and he knows. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time, it will fructify. So, I didn't get very far in the purport. What to do? It was too good to go on. So, any question? Does austerity exist in the spiritual world? Is it difficult to live there? The one difficulty in the spiritual world is to deal with all the nectar. It's just so much nectar. So much. So much. One wishes that one could deal with it all at the same time. That's all. It's just so much nectar. That's the one thing in the spiritual world. But just thinking about it is nectar. So in this way, even that, so even the difficulties in the spiritual world make you ecstatic. In that way, we don't have to worry. Please explain how Lord Krishna has no beginning and no end. Reading Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, we read of Lord Krishna's pastimes as a beginning and an end. The killing of Bakasura, demon, killing of Putana, etc. Yeah, but in the spiritual world there is sequence. So, Krishna, there is morning and Krishna goes out, there is evening and Krishna comes back. But yet there is no time in the spiritual world. It's not governed by time. This world is governed by time. Like now, the time has moved along, the curtains have closed. It's a signal. Time is a factor now. I'm sort of watching the time, you know, as I'm moving along the lecture, so it won't be too late and this and that. Time. But in the spiritual world, everything is governed by ras. Everything is governed by love. So like, for example, when it's breakfast time, all the mothers, they want to feed Krishna. First, Mother Yasoda. I mean, she's been cooking, Rohini has been cooking, Radharani comes to cook, right? They've cooked, they went all out. They've cooked a monster feast. They're serving it out to Krishna. And Mother Yasoda says, Krishna, you're not eating anything. Which is somehow or other what mothers do, right? No matter, they somehow or other love to stuff you beyond a point where it's impossible to swallow another bite. That's the greatest ecstasy of a mother. So somehow or other, Krishna reciprocates with that. And after he's eaten everything at home, then he goes and eats at the neighbor's also. And they also serve him full breakfast. And it's, you know, and so breakfast lasts a long time, but it's not a problem because it just stays breakfast time. You see? At that point, it just stays breakfast time. And then, so in this way, Krishna can peacefully have breakfast and breakfast and breakfast and breakfast and breakfast. And it's just breakfast time. And then, okay, then it's time to go out. So time is not like governing the activities of the spiritual world like here. Although there is something like a beginning and an end to pastimes. But it's rasa. So at one point when Krishna is ready for another rasa, he says, okay, let's have another rasa now, not just breakfast. Then, okay, time to go, and time to go to the forest, and the goodbye rasa begins, saying goodbye. We were watching one of your lectures last night. We're being watched. And we enjoyed the lecture. And a word I cannot read, when Maharaj jumped off the canoe, love. Who can read this?
What is this word? I can't make sense of it.
Otherwise, would the person who wrote it might. I can't figure out.
I'm so sorry.
It's a puzzle. We were watching one of your lectures last night and we enjoyed the lecture on the dot dot. When Maharaj jumped off the dot dot,
who laughed. Nice lecture, we enjoyed it.
What is the dot dot? Anybody is good at puzzles. Please don't mind, I just can't figure it out. Yes.
The canoe.
Everyone was sitting in a boat and was sinking, and I jumped off the boat. Why did I jump off the boat? How did I do that? Huh? It's an old lecture, I guess, huh? Must be, I try to remember it.
Maybe Bangladesh.
Bangladesh. Oh, that.
Oh, okay. Bangladesh. Thank you. Well, you see, in Bangladesh they have lots of water, and they have these kind of boats which are really primitive, you know, useless little boats. And now, in itself, they work, but the people were worse than the boats. See, when you go into a boat, I'm from Holland, so I know about boats because it also has lots of water. And when you go into a boat, you must go low. You don't stand up straight. If you go into a small boat, you bend down. You bend down low, and then you keep the balance of the boat. As soon as you stand up straight, the boat tends to capsize. So that's what happened. Some people were going in the boat, and this one fellow, and they were sitting and it was wobbling, and one fellow stood up and started to really wobble. So I told him, sit down. He didn't listen. And the other people, they sat down, like our Vrajabalava, he sat down. But I saw it's going wrong. So I jumped out of the boat, back onto the shore, and then the boat capsized and sunk. And everyone fell in the water. Except me. I'm sorry. You know, in the end, I guess it's... In the end, it's God for us all and each man for himself. What can I say? I got caught. But we made sure we pulled everyone out of the water. And then there was a question, how did you learn to play the harmonium so expertly? Well, it's not so expertly, but whatever I learned, it's because of previous life experience with music. Therefore, this life, music comes easy for me. I don't need to do so much for it. It's already there. But still, nothing comes automatic. Still, one has to practice. Whether you have much previous experience with an instrument or not, or with music or not, if you practice, it can be done. Even someone who sings like a crow, or worse than a crow, can actually learn how to sing. People who cannot sing, they are actually... they're lazy. I'm so sorry to be rude, you know, but they are lazy. When the notes go high, they go halfway. I can't even do it. But so they have to, and they don't listen. See, the essence in music, the first thing in music is not playing. People, they grab an instrument and start playing. The first thing in music is listen. Just listen. What is being sung very carefully and try very attentively to listen and do exactly the same. Right? That's the beginning of music. So the essence is the ear. And if the ear is good, then everything else will follow in music. And that's the trick. Is the ear. Of course, in my case, I'm still learning, I must say. And may not learn everything this life, so may have to come another life to learn again. With that, we've come to the end of this talk, and as you see, the mercy of the Lord has appeared again.
Oh, there are more.
The mercy of the Lord has appeared again. This time it has appeared in the form of Bhagavad Gitas. These Bhagavad Gitas, which in themselves are priceless, and really, each Bhagavad Gita is worth more than your house. And why so? Because by placing a Bhagavad Gita in your house, the Prabhupada said, it can transform your house into a temple. See? Therefore the Bhagavad Gita is worth more than your house. But I'm not going to ask that much.
Huh? Usually I ask, what do I ask? I forgot. What do I usually ask? How much do I ask?
I usually ask 108. I was in Durban last year and doing that. And I just said, like, the first one who takes a Bhagavad Gita for 100 rand, right, gets special mercy. And I'll give my special prayer for that. Then suddenly out of nowhere, Indrajumna Maharaj came. He said, I'll buy that Bhagavad Gita.
And then he turned around and said to someone, hey, give me 100 rand.
Then he got 100 rand. And the next thing, he took the Gita and then he said, who wants to buy this Gita for 200 rand? Then he sold it to Yamuna Chara. So I'm letting you off easy with 100 rand. There is a whole bunch of them. So the first one who comes forward with 100 rand, boy, all the special mercy, all the blessings, all the prayers, everything on your side. Think about it for a moment. Calculate your cash and see if you can still make it to the Christmas present. I guess you could always give someone a Bhagavad Gita. These questions are too big. Can't deal with them. It'll take another half an hour for such questions. Yeah, so.